were.
I always excited.
I mean, I never heard him swear. I never heard him fight. They lived in a great
environment.
The Lord God is
mother good.
God,
good.
And there wasn't much talk about God at home.
Always wanted
to
the God the worst
God more.
The most out of all the sermons that I've
in the church that I grew up in is called the First Christian Church.
We call Mother's Day.
The Church of Christ. If you're not familiar with their doctrine, they believe that you have to be baptized to be saved to receive the Holy Spirit.
With Adam,
and
they remember good things, but
that
the Lord God
to
remember.
And so when I was 12 years old, I'm sure my
we look back upon the memories
of
our mother.
The Lord God had taken from
being baptized so
that
I might be able to be saved. And as I grew up in middle school and high school, I was taught
it's that
or I have
coupled with my
natural
melancholy
sorry that you had to turn away from your sin, and that caused a lot of pain in me.
Seem to be able to put together the right
because,
words.
I knew that I had to turn away.
Motherhood means
I always felt like a failure. I never thought I could live that way.
Pleasant memory.
And it manifested itself.
My precious
mother. I had a lot of good friends and stuff that were Christians, so never really growing up through high school, it really manifested itself outwardly. But inwardly, I knew it was. And when I got to college, college was just an excuse for my flesh to do exactly what it wanted to do. I was away from my parents.
The others just.
I didn't find a church there, Christian church. Going there, I was going there, and I couldn't feel sorry that I didn't want to turn away from what I was doing. Ultimately, I loved the sin and loved it, and I became part of the world. And I was part of the world. This caused a lot of pain and a lot of confusion. And I just felt like I had to get away from it or whatever, have a chance to be saved.
So I don't understand.
Thankfully, I met my wife in college. Fell in love with her.
In the equality of women.
Okay. Found a job here. We're both raised in a church, so we wanted to obviously find a church
place.
For their own
see that they battle against something
this church
that they already.
And, still, for about a year going here, I had the mindset that I needed to
tell this that a good wife is a gift from God.
I was just hoping
that our price is far above rubies.
Feeling like I was failing.
It also warns us against a bad woman.
It manifests itself.
So a bad woman can be destructive.
I knew that.
Proverbs 12:4 declares a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband.
Thank God that He put us here. And for some reason, I've heard His Jesus Christ dying for us. And for some reason, I finally understood what that meant.
Worse than a bad
man. I understood that.
It's reported that the Greek philosopher Socrates
that, I didn't deserve help
was
breaking his law
about marriage.
And not anything
he
that
said
I can
that
do
he replied, quote,
going to church,
by all means, marry.
No
if you get a good wife, you'll be
can get me there. And to truly understand the sacrifice that did on the cross. Praying out to God to save me, knowing that I've been so much that brought me with so much peace in my life.
But I do love little girls.
My foundation was never built. was convicted, but I went out to her.
My freshman student had a year, which I'm late as you have in the
past.
It was a boy.
I was preaching the truth.
Boys? You're the one. You represent the God.
He brought me to salvation. I just want to thank you guys.
God sent you. The little girl, there is the wonder of woman. Now there's a word even when she's driving his way for it all through the night by one foot. According to our text that we read, Adam first called his wife woman. The Hebrew word is Isha. It's the feminine of Ish. Ish is man. Isha is woman. Even waking from his sleep immediately upon seeing this creature, and yet he knew that she was made for him. Up to that point, he had been naming all the animals. He realized that they had made male and female. But for Adam, the Bible says, and I this wonderful creature, Adam gave the name Eve. Yeah. You are the mother of all living, indicating that all living human beings. Is being written as it were after the fact. He's saying that she became, if you will, the mother of all living. From this union with time and past time, the grace of God is all creation because it is only mankind and the image of God. God saw that it was not good that man should be alone, so he created woman from Adam's rib, not from his head, that she might rule over him, but under his arm, from his hand, and near his heart, that she might be loved. By God's wisdom, he gave man the very gift. And then, before you go out in public using offerings to fly or cleanser, clear away any smudge and nothing clean like mother's skin. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I'm reminding you to wear clean underwear just in case. Spiritual advisor. She's the one to whom you went when you needed a listening ear rather than a condemning word. She's the one who wearied heaven's throne on earth. Dr. Johnny Pope was one of my teachers in Bible school, and in his early years, his youth, late teens, early 20s, he was a rather rowdy young man, and he returned home late one night from his carousing, and he heard something in the living room, and he heard someone crying, and he sneaked into the living room, and there he saw his mother kneeling down over a pair of his shoes, weeping. And saying, "Oh God, you said, beautiful are the feet of those who publish the gospel of peace." She was praying for her son, her wayward son. 40 years ago, come this November, Johnny Pope preached my ordination sermon. He continues in the pastorate to this very day.
So then we feel.
I recall my own mother when I told her that I felt called to preach. She was a very simple lady, very direct in some of the things that she would say. She just looked at me and said, "Well, it's about time." She'd been praying for that for since I was born. She never told me. She didn't want me to be Mama called.
And they came to know.
Lest I delay or belay the all that we have to do today, let me just ask you to consider with me several things about several characteristics about a mother. I will go through these rather quickly. I'll not ask you to turn to the different passages. I'll mention them so you can jot them down if you would like. First of all, there's a mother's dedication as seen in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 and verses 26 through 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, this is Hannah, the mother of young Samuel. You find in that passage that here was a woman that prayed a specific prayer. She was barren. She prayed specifically for a child. And God gave her that child. In that prayer, she made a promise. She said, "If you will give me a man child, I will dedicate him to you." She made that prayer, she made that promise, she made that vow. Perhaps a few years later when that little boy was weaned, and I think in my mind she probably delayed that weaning process because she was hesitant maybe to make good her promise, because the Bible tells us that she reminded her of the vow that she had made. Mama, let me ask you, how soon is
he will be back. He will be back. Oh, my dear.
For her son, her daughter, to just go away and leave her son. And I would suggest to you that that is an unnatural affection. I think the natural affection would be that it was too soon to let them go, because forever they remain. And her dedication, her faithfulness, her provision every year, she would make her mother hope.
He will hold me
back.
He'll not let my soul be gone.
Divine loan.
He promises it shall last.
And then
he was born by him at dusk.
So there's a mother's dedication that we see. There's a mother's perfection in Exodus chapter 2. We read of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and the father. He hears the mother who decides to turn on his children rather than murder her baby and keep him home. He then prepared an ark for him and placed him strategically in the river near where she knew the king's daughter bathed. And she watched. Had her daughter watch in wonder as God undertook her step. When she had done all that she could do, she let God do all that she could. There's no
peace.
Then there's the mother's prayer in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. The mother of Timothy here, she and his grandmother, the great apostle Paul, took this young man. He had really been trained at his mother's feet. Paul then mentored him into the service of God. Paul would remind him early of that education and the words that we learned in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He also wrote to Timothy and he said, evil men, the seducers, will not work from verse, deceiving thee, but continuing God in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's never too early, Mama, to start teaching your child the things of God. And what Timothy became began as a child at the knee of faithful, godly women. I must hasten, but there's then the mother's love in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is the account of the two women, two prostitutes, who came before Solomon,
even
one choosing death,
terribly,
the other seeking life of the child born in prostitution.
About it, but,
unplanned, I'm sure, but not unexpected.
Christian man went up to a member of the outside.
To be sure, these pregnancies interfered with these women's careers, but that was not an unwanted baby.
Last Sunday,
the one chose life,
same young man,
for her own child rather than death.
House.
There's a mother's love. There's a mother's ambition in Matthew chapter 20.
Salome,
the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also called by Jesus the sons of thunder.
Christian man.
She came and worshiping him, the Bible says, besought that her sons might receive a place of prominence, one sitting at the right hand and one at the left hand of Christ.
God still does what only God can do, so that only God can get.
But what mother does not desire greater things for her children? Good women seek the advancement of their men, be they their husbands or their sons. Someone has said that behind every successful man, there are two women. One, a loving and dedicated wife and mother. Well, three, and a surprised mother-in-law. She was ambitious. She dreamed big for her sons. Then there's a mother's triumph in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was ill, and she came to the Lord and asked for healing, and he said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the master's table get some scraps. And he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. And her daughter was healed. What a triumph. She was triumphant in her prayer because she persisted in her prayer. There's perhaps no other creature more persistent than a woman. She goes about getting what she wants in different ways. We don't realize that sometimes until it's done, and then we're like, how did that happen? She got what she wanted, and it became my idea. How did that happen? They're persistent. Then there's a mother's burden. In Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Jesus, they took him to the temple. And there they met an old man by the name of Simeon who held the Christ child in his arms, and he blessed God and praised God and said, I thank you that mine eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. And he looked at Mary and he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. No one hurts for her child like a mother. So there's a mother's burden, a mother's triumph, a mother's ambition, a mother's love, and a mother's training, and a mother's protection, and a mother's dedication. Nobody knows the work it makes to keep the home together. Nobody knows of the steps it takes. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody listens to childish woes which kisses only smother. Nobody's pained by the naughty blows. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the sleepless care bestowed on baby brother. Nobody knows of the tender prayer. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody knows of the lessons taught of loving one another. Nobody knows of the patience sought. Nobody, only mother. Nobody knows of the anxious fears lest darlings may not weather the storms of life in after years. Nobody knows but mother. Nobody knows of the tears that start, the grief she gladly smother. Nobody knows of the breaking heart. Nobody, only mother. Nobody clings to the wayward child, though scorned by every other. Leads it so gently from pathways wild. Nobody can but mother. Nobody knows of the hourly prayer for him, our erring brother, pride of her heart, once so pure and fair. Nobody, only mother. Nobody kneels at the throne above to thank the heavenly Father for that sweetest gift, a mother's love. Nobody can, only mother. Our Father, who embodies the virtues of motherhood yourself in your love and your care toward us. We give thee thanks this morning for our mamas. Some gone on, some in your very presence this morning rejoicing in who you are. Some perhaps receiving word from those who have recently left this plane and have entered heaven, news that brings rejoicing. I just have a feeling, Father, that that's how folks in heaven find out about what goes on here, is when somebody passes from here to there, they gather with friends and family and share what's been happening down here. I think there's rejoicing in heaven. I think that's the way they get word of our lives here. We're thankful for the mother's influence. Now, Father, I'm not so naive that I don't think that there have been mothers who have not been so good. The least thing that they did was give us life. And that in itself is the greatest of gifts, because it puts us in place to receive eternal life from you. Motherhood is so important that you saw fit to make sure that when you brought the Christ child into this world, to give him a mother, to care for him, watch over him. What a job that must have been. The Father, we reflect upon our mothers today. We appreciate them. We acknowledge them. We honor them. And we thank you for them. And we ask you bless them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mamas, would you stand, please, and come up front? Just a simple token of appreciation. Back in the day, we were talking this morning in Sunday school about how things in cultures change. Back in the day, when I was just a pup, we would get a certain color of a flower for our mother. If her mother was still living, it was a white flower of some sort. If she was I'm sorry, if she had passed, it was a white flower, not a red flower, for those mothers who were still living. And we have a we have combination here of red and white and everything in between. And so, ladies, I trust that there's enough. It's always hard to know how many moms are going to be here. And so we order hopefully more than enough. And if you would, ladies, just take a flower of your choice here as a small token of appreciation from your church family for what you have done. So, Carrie, go ahead. You be first and pray.